So here we are, Allie Privet, Peter Hostrasser, Disrupt Education. What's happening? A little sunshine over your shoulder there, it looks like. There's a little sunshine here. I know I'm in like a dark room, but it's here.
Div, it's the snow.
Oh, is it? Yeah.
So bright. If you're on YouTube, it looks really bright.
Shining off
like
the
snow. Reflection. It's not been a very sunny winter. We'll be closer to spring when this episode comes out. Yeah. So I hope there's more sunshine. but the word on the street is that this time of year for educators can be kind of like hit or miss, like this winter weather has been. Meaning, yeah. I actually really enjoyed January, February, leading up to like early March time mm-hmm. in school, because I saw the most gains from students because it was cold and dark. There wasn't a lot of activities in the field unless you were in a winter sport.
Right.
But it's a challenging time of year on the same token for educators, because you're in kind of like the dark dredges of the year. You can't yet see the end. And you may or may not, you know, experience kind of like seasonal depression with the right. darkness.
Right.
I can remember a teacher my first year, he was a basketball coach, and he said, you know, from his whole entire basketball season, he never saw the sun because his classroom right. was in the dark. So he'd get to school before the sun came up. He'd teach all day with no windows. Then after school, he would go and coach basketball, no windows, really in the gym. And then it would definitely be over after dark. And so he's like, I literally don't see the sun for like 4 months.
Yeah. Got to be a lot of vitamin D in there. Just saying. Yeah, that's true. That's true. We have, you know, one of my colleagues on our business team is a basketball coach as well. Same thing. And, you know, it is interesting because I think for the most part, correct me if I'm wrong, you taught like full year courses. I teach a lot of semester courses. So there is a kind of a new rebirth of another class that you taught the first semester that you have a new section of kids. And then there's a combination. So we have an internship class. This is full year as well. But I like the spring better. I think, you know, you learn a lot in the first semester. I mean, you do. Every year is different. And then going into like the spring semester, like you said, like the days start to get longer. There's an interesting cluster of holidays that happen in January and February. You got President's Day, MLK, a couple of these things. We do have a couple of PDs that we have in the spring. There's a spring break. And it's like, it's a little bit more of a trudge in the first part of the year. So I kind of like that, but this is the time, I think, with our previous guest, where people start thinking about the next year. Do I want to come back? There is a lot of negotiating going on in contracts. This is your teacher schedule for the next year. And a lot of questioning. You know, we just had Joanne Kaminsky on talking about her tutoring business. This is a time, right, where people's like, can I do something different?
I definitely know this is the time of year where, whether or not you're thinking about it, the school district is, kids are registering for classes.
Yep.
They are creating the master schedules for the next year. Contracts are going out for teachers. Like, we've shared this, I think, last year around this mm-hmm. time, but it's a good reminder if you're new to the podcast that, you know, if you're not in K-12 education, but you are supporting it or working with it, teachers sign their contracts for the next school year starting in January, yep. February, March. Some states and school districts will let you sign as late as like May or June. And that's usually if you're you've been there for like 5 or 10 years. You're
tenured.
That's the word I'm looking for. And like only if you're like a tenured teacher. So they basically right. expect you to be back.
Right.
So, right. You, then potentially in as early as February, March, you could be deciding what the next 16 months, like you're signing a contract for over a year out, look like for you. And it's so atypical from most industries. And so if you do have some time to consider, like, is that really what I want to be doing the next year? And even if you're not ready to make that step for the next year and you sign that contract, well, it's still potentially like, okay, well, this is going to be the last time I sign this.
Right.
And I think with Joanne's tutoring business, this is also the time of year where teachers consider, do I want to start something new?
Right.
In and around teaching, or do I want to just, nope, I'm done. And I am going to do something new, whether that is start my own business or shift to a different industry. You know, we had the pencils down episode back in December. And that book, if you haven't read it, is all about teachers transitioning. And so I do think there's definitely this time of year is where those questions kind of come up.
Right.
And people are making decisions for the future, for the summer and for next year and for the years after.
If you are an administrator or a teacher leader or a superintendent, one thing you really want to keep your eye on is how many days your teachers take off, especially in the spring. That's an indicator to how burnt out people are or how they're not burnt out, right? So if you have a highly, you know, active group that is not taking days, I think you're doing a great job. And not just you, I mean, the system. And it, but if that's an indicator, if a lot of people are taking days off, you know, every other Friday, or you see very high absence rates in teachers, it's just like any other business. You should probably take a look at what you can control. There are things you can't control. Don't want to, you know, throw that on anybody who's leading in schools, but what can we do? How can we have conversations, set aside time and do some deep things? And with that, you know, it kind of came out of the conversation with Joanne about the tutoring part, right? Our school does provide a, you know, couple hour a week tutoring fund that they will pay teachers. We get online. It's between like a couple hours, one night a week, and students can jump in. Typically, it's in math, science, English, and in history. It's your core four. And teachers get paid. Now, what I liked about what Joanne was saying and what is a leap, which you took, and I'm going to like kind of reach into kind of your brain here a little bit and ask you a few questions about that, is when you put all the energy and the focus and in education that you've went into this business for, and you go back to those creative thoughts and those places where you thought teaching would be. Because if you're in teaching and it's what you thought, you're not going to get burned out. But if it's not what you thought it would be, and you put 100% into that, I don't think there's a doubt in my mind that you can make way more and money and have more flexible time like Joanne is doing, than just kind of sticking into this safe area. What are your thoughts on that? Because I kind of wanted to pick your brain. You know, you are doing some different things, but you're still in education as well.
Yeah. So I think first and foremost, like leaving the classroom, Joanne talked about, like, you know, it's normal for people to have an identity crisis and kind of try a lot of different things. I had already started trying a lot of different things before I left the classroom, but it was totally in preparation for, at first, taking a year off just to give myself a break, and literally just experience a year of adult life without a school calendar. And we've talked previously about how during that year, I realized there was a school alley and there was a summer alley version of myself, and they conflicted. And so I did go through a pretty large identity crisis that first
Sure.
year. I can like totally relate to Joanne. And then I would say, depending on like what your value structures are, and then like what you need in order to provide, making the amount of money that teachers make is very, very doable. In a probably a part-time job, you could probably drive Uber, and make as much as teachers make and have a very flexible schedule. Like the bar is pretty low. Like, I mean, if you live in certain areas, I
Right.
would say, and most school districts are not paying teachers, the benefits, so to speak, are what, sell it, or the days off, the planned calendar, all of those things are certainly benefits, but the actual take-home pay is pretty fairly easy to replicate.
Right.
However, the cost of doing so gives up time freedom. And right, like if you're signing a contract for like right now for the next year, you're basically saying, I'm giving you my time for the next year plus, and you get to dictate it. And for me, my thoughts of being out of the system is that with the time freedom that I have, I'm able to live a completely different lifestyle, which has totally different costs associated with it. And that is where, like, the safe, quote unquote, environment of a career in education, it's really hard to fathom that, because I know before I did take the year off, I didn't even think there was any other way to live.
Yeah, you're right.
You're 20 plus years into it, Peter. I mean, I know other things, but it's so ingrained. Like,
Right.
it's hard to even, it's that pathway that Joanne talked about. It's like you don't even know what you don't know. I have this ignorance still because I'm, less than 2 years out, but it's not like this. I don't know what I don't know. I'm definitely in like the phase two, which is like taking the steps to redefine it.
Right.
And I mean, I said this to my students all the time. There are so many ways to make money, and but it's honestly not the most, in my opinion, resource. Like doing what you love, it will bring you so much more joy and happiness. Teaching can do that. And like, you don't want to say like, oh, teachers only do it for the kids and not for the money. But at some point, like if you really do enjoy teaching, and this is the other part that Joanne got into, teaching in the classroom is far less what I expected it to be.
Right.
And it's a lot more classroom management. And before we even started recording this podcast, Peter, you were telling me about not a new teaching strategy you're really implementing, but classroom management strategies so that you can focus more on teaching. It's that so that. I will say everything I did in my classroom when I was teaching was to maximize the learning environment. In order to do that, it was completely structuring the classroom management from a very strict, relatively on the scale, perspective, so that everything in the classroom was focused on learning. So I could minimize the amount of distractions and classroom management I had to do. It seemingly was in the background, but it was actually really in the forefront of my mind, so that we could get to the what I would consider the fun stuff of teaching. But getting there was probably 90% of the planning.
Yep. Yeah, it is. It really is. And I, you know, in it really, when you look at everything, and I'm going to go back to Don Wetrick, you know, the challenges are opportunities. And once you stop looking at it like that, it's time to move on. It really is. And there's nothing wrong with, you know, if you burn out or if it's just not for you. I don't want to say that. I for some reason I still enjoy these crazy challenges. It's kind of silly, but you know, and I think, you know, it's not like a martyr or anything. It's just like you're in a system that is actually built that is not conducive to really learning. It's conducive to managing people, et cetera. And if anybody wants to like follow somebody on LinkedIn, I'm going to throw Matt Barnes out there because that guy is just hell or high water, going to let you know, because he's been in it. And he has some very, you know, some of his posts really make me angry, which means, yeah, all right, then he's hitting a nerve, but he's doing a great thing. So I'm just going to throw Matt Barnes out there for people who really want to see. Yeah, I don't like to call anybody extremist, but he's extremely interested in really turning this thing on its head because he's seen it, and he does a great job of communicating that in a very kind of viral way, if you will. Here's the other interesting part. Even though I do a side gig, I do work, you know, curriculum development, I do work with helping others podcast and creating content, et cetera. I think one of the things, going back to what you said, Ellie, was, you know, in teaching, if you break it down per an hourly wage, I mean, it's about $20 to $30 an hour, maybe.
Maybe.
Right? And that's on the upper end, right? I mean, let's be honest. Like, you're working 40 hours at school or maybe 35, but you're working about 40 or 20 more at home or whatever, right? Depending on some teachers. But I get to do things because I've chosen to do things on the side. And this is kind of what Joanne was talking about as well. And you're like, I really can't believe I'm getting paid to do this, right? And I always try to get that back into my head as I'm teaching, right? My job is I get to talk to students. I get to have one-on-one conversations. I get to. And I think what Joanne was saying is, once you get through the classroom management or the setup of anything that you're doing, and in her case, it was tutoring. Once you get that set up and you start rolling, I mean, the amount of time that you put into a classroom and then you put that into yourself, whatever you're doing and creating value, it's unbelievable. Like, you can live a lot freer than that, you know, bell schedule. And I think the other thing I wanted to quickly touch on is that bell schedule, right? And in and of itself is... It is funny. I remember at one of my jobs that I didn't like in a certain school system, I would catch myself looking outside the window, wondering what everybody else is doing. Like, no lie. There was a street by, it was a pretty heavily trafficked street, and I would be watching trucks and people go by, and I'm like, I wonder if they're going to lunch and stuff. And I felt like I was in prison in that place. Not my current school. I don't feel like that, but you know, but think about it, right? Think about like how the work world is changing again into those flexible spaces where you can work in office 3 days, 2 days out of office, 4 day work weeks, 3 day work weeks. Now things are not labeled as hours. They're labeled as creation of value. So what is a value that you bring? And I think that is a huge piece of education that is going to change in the next coming years. So, and I think, you know, it's funny because Joanne knows this. She's done this for so long. And, you know, so that's where, I don't know, thoughts on that flexible workspace, right?
Well, that's where I think there's this huge opportunity for school districts, especially micro schools. Like, you know, I think the smaller you are, the easier it is to implement these things. The bigger the corporation, right, the harder it is to change. And schools are a corporation. But this idea of why can't it be some kind of model that is more like tutoring? So there's all of these tools and stuff to, like, you know, kids can work through a curriculum. Like, you can buy these, but they're everywhere.
Right.
Literally, you can get overwhelmed with just like picking one. But okay, you find curriculum for the high school level. Just go with that because that's what you and I know. And kids enroll in online classes that are, you know, either created or edited or led by an educator in the building. And the kids can work through it, but then if they need to flex in and get in-person support, then you have a quote unquote tutor, AKA teacher, who can then highly engage them. Because I know that there were students who could have done my entire curriculum of a, a semester or a year-long chemistry class in 1 to 2 months.
Right.
And then there were other kids that needed the whole year, if not maybe more time, mm-hmm. you know? And so this idea that a teacher could be there to flex in and like, okay, 2 days a week, that teacher is online only available. You make appointments and all of that. And then the other days they're flex, they're in the school building. You could be in the school building or you could get help online, but you have to quote unquote check on these marks. Like, I mean, there's so much possibility for like an open campus type scenario.
Yep.
And we don't need it so this archaic bell schedule and that tutoring model, right? Joanne's talking about like there are so many people who want that extra help. And she said, you don't have disengaged learners. Like, right? They are there with you to learn. And what if the kid needed only one or two pieces of help? Because I know when I'm tutoring, because I do tutor, not at the level Joanne does, but chemistry is obviously a complex topic that requires tutoring, is typically, you know, the parents come to me, the students come to me, and they're like, I don't understand anything. And that's not true. It's usually like one, two, three things that got muddled that we need to clarify in order for them to be like, oh, now I understand the picture. Mm-hmm. And that's true when they're learning the material. I don't care how technical it is. As well, it's like you need that teacher to like help move a kid forward, but you don't need this like whole classroom lecture structure where everybody gets it at the same time on that day from 8 to 8:50 a.m. Like there's this tutoring-esque model, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is going to get bigger and bigger because it makes so much sense, and there are ways to structure it. Yeah, it's going to disrupt traditional education, but it needs to be.
Yeah, I agree. We do have a guest that's coming up in a network that we've had a colleague. I'm just trying to like tease something out here, but where he spoke with me earlier and he talked about another school leader coming into their organization, and students were working on things all by themselves, unstructured, like a school, but there was movement, there was things happening. And the school leader, who was from a typical system, said, are you okay with this? Do you see what's going on here? There's a lot. So we're going to talk to somebody there, but also, you know, kind of going back into, you know, teachers looking for side hustles or taking the jump. Right? Pun intended there, Miss Parachuter there. But, you know, taking the jump, depending on where you are in life. And I really think, you know, I don't want to discount, you know, I've thought about it several times. And you think about, okay, what is your family situation? Where, you know, what is your living situation? What are the bills that you have to pay, et cetera, et cetera. All these things come into play when you're conversating about doing something else or doing something else, like all the way out of education, or doing something else with education that you know about that is not in a school system. And, you know, really making those thought processes coming out. What are the opportunities that you have? And I want our listeners to think about that. What are the opportunities that you have right now? If you are looking to do something else, you have to look at what is your situation, right? And your situation may not be a jump, right? And that's okay. And I think Joanne said that as well when we asked her, or your situation is a jump. And some people work better with that back against the wall mentality, right? Mm-hmm. You do have to break out of a mindset. And somehow I think a lot of us have figured out how to break out of the mindset. We go into this structured school system and we're like, we're going to do it like we want to anyway. Right. Because we know it's going to help our students, et cetera, et cetera. So I think that's an important thing that our listeners really heard. That's one thing I heard from, you know, Joanne as well. And also your story. Right. And I really appreciate the fact that you're like, yeah, I was vulnerable. Like, I'm still trying to figure out certain things. I'll be honest, Allie, the same with me. Like every year, I'm like, I kind of have an end in sight of what I'm going to do within the school system, like structurally, but who knows? Anything can change. But I also understand, you know, what I can do outside of it. And I think that's what we're trying to build here with the Disrupt Education podcast, right? How do we, you know, help other people realize, you know what, you do not have to feel trapped. There's a lot of opportunity to in the playground. So what are your final thoughts on all this? Because you're the one doing the jump, which I love. Pun intended, seriously. Folks, she jumps out of airplanes, but
I do.
Yeah.
Continuously. Probably when this episode comes out, I'll probably be somewhere warm jumping out of planes.
There we go.
I really want this episode. I know we both really want this episode to be an empowering episode for educators, specifically those in the classroom that are contemplating a change. And they're maybe you're feeling like overwhelmed by this thought and you don't know where to start, and but you know, you need a change, whether that's for a year or forever from the classroom. You just know that it's your time, and that's okay. And also if you're feeling empowered to like, no, I really enjoy teaching and I love being in the system that make changes from within. We also want you to feel empowered, you know, and like disrupting education takes people on all sides.
Right. Yes.
Inside and outside of the building. And I think that is where we really, you know, commend the innovative leaders who are thinking about and doing school differently, the school districts that are already making those changes and fighting probably against a system. And I really want to shout out our Patricia Morgan, who our lawyer who was on in 2023. And I just feel like, you know, where there's a will, there's a way. And if you're in the right environment, right? So if you're a community member, you're a teacher, you're an educator, you're an administrator, like if there's enough backing for a change, it can happen. And then individually, right? We don't know your personal circumstances. You know, if you're listening to this and you're like, wow, I'm feeling overwhelmed with, you know, wanting to make a change. I don't know where to start. Feel free to reach out to Peter and I. We have definitely made significant changes in our careers and in disrupting education over a long period of time. Peter more within the system, me now from the outside of the system. And Joanne is an amazing resource if tutoring is an angle that you want to think about. And that is totally a route. And she said, you know, that episode is like $10,000 worth of free coaching.
Right.
Where that's just a snippet of her expertise in helping people start their own businesses. And, you know, if you know you want to be a specialist in a certain area of education, there's so much opportunity for you. And if more and more people are making those decisions to lean into their professional passions and backgrounds and then take control of that, that is going to disrupt education, because those specialized individuals can shape a community and shape a specialty by saying, no, I'm going to do it on my own terms, and I'm going to change this teaching model from a management model to a educating those who really want to learn this subject and want that guidance from what I know can help them. And we hope that this episode is like empowering and helps you kind of navigate those next steps as you contemplate them. And we're definitely going to be having more conversations about how to do that in the coming weeks and months here on the Disrupt Education podcast.
Right. Love that. And, you know, one of the things that I really want to kind of highlight what you said there, Allie, is when I started to quote unquote disrupt education and kind of go against the grain, I still take it personally sometimes, unintentionally. When people talk about the system and they talk about people in the system, I get upset because I'm still in the system. But what you said there was very interesting, because it's very necessary. If we're looking to change, we can't be on each side. It can't be in the system, out of the system, you know, whatever, innovative, traditional. It's got to be a yes and. And that's where I found, look, I'm working with a person who left the system. She's right there, right? So, you know, this is what we need more of, right? How can we yes and? It's not every system, anywhere you are in education, is not going to work for everybody. So how can we feed off of each other, you know, and put away the negativity and go after those challenges as opportunities, as Don Wettrick said. So I've got one question. This is kind of a new thing that we wanted to add, and I'm throwing this out at you. We are at the end of our podcast now. It's called, like, we'll call it the EdTech Extra, right? So the EdTech Extra. So Allie, I wanted to ask you, and I'm throwing you out here because we didn't previously talk about this. Well, we did a little bit, but wanted to talk about, you know, EdTech is all over the place right now. It's trying to fill gaps. It's trying to, you know, help, blah, 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 all this stuff. What's your EdTech Extra? Do you have something out there that you're like, oh, this is kind of cool, that you've used or you've seen or heard about?
There are a lot.
Yeah.
I have a couple in mind. I think I'll go bigger on this first one, just because,
yep,
it's a little spicy, because people who use it are probably on one side or the other of it. So the learning management system, I'm going to go with like a big sweep here, that I actually loved, was the Schoology learning management system. Mm-hmm. And it's a contender against kind of the Google, you know, classroom space. And yep. When it was introduced in my school district, a lot of teachers were like, but it can do so much. And, I don't know. I didn't know a school district that used it before it. I know it's mm-hmm. bigger now. And I just think that what they do to kind of do a full sweep to make any class that you want to, you know, like create, organize, schedule, grading, it integrates with so many things, and they were constantly improving it. I haven't personally used a better one. And let's just make this clear, since this is the first time we're doing this. Peter and I are not sponsored by any of these recommendations. We just decided, we're like, why don't we share out some like tools, resources that we use or have used that we really enjoy. Mm-hmm. And because we've just felt like, you know, for those listening to the podcast, maybe introduce you guys to some stuff you haven't heard of that we have used or know that works for certain areas. Since we talk about disrupting education, how can we help educators and those inside and out of the system to know what are things that teachers do like, does work, versus mm-hmm. the things we don't like?
Right. I like, I did work with Schoology at one of the schools. I'll just quickly highlight, and it integrated very nicely into our grading program. Very nicely. Yep. Extremely, extremely efficient. So don't be afraid, folks out there, of change. I think that's the overall concept of this podcast. But, you know, just understanding, you know, change and play, making education your playground again. And you can do that with a lot of these different ed tech tools. I know Schoology is one of them, but also, you know, overall, inside, outside of the system, go for it. It's 2024. We're well into it. Let's make some change happen and disrupt education, change those challenges and opportunities. All right. So for Allie Privet, I'm Peter Hostrasser. Hey, guys, thanks again. Reach out if you have any different ideas around disrupting education. We're here to talk about them. Until next week, we'll talk to you later. Thank you so much for joining us on this week's episode of the Disrupt Education Podcast. Be sure to like and subscribe so you never miss an episode.
Are you ready to disrupt the educational arena you're a part of? For more ways to get involved in the work we do here at Disrupt Education, check us out at disrupteducation.co or find us on LinkedIn at Peter Hostrasser
or Allie Privet.
Our mission here is to help facilitate and amplify changes in the educational system through local initiatives and help you scale them into community movements. Our building network of disruptors in education are working to move beyond scores and grades as the only measure for student learning. If your school district, college, campus, or organization is looking for facilitators of this work, reach out on our website or social media.
And if you have any thoughts or feedback on this week's episode or any episode, we'd love to hear from you. Until next time, keep pushing the boundaries, taking risks, and most importantly, disrupting education.